Welcome to Single Mommy Fabulous, the podcast, episode 2, Disastrous Dating Advice, with your hosts, Nicole Henley and Adrian Robertson. Okay, so today we're going to talk about disastrous dating advice, and we have two men who have graciously joined us. We have Oscar, and we have Mr. Rivers, and we're so pleased to have you here with us. And of course, we have my co-host, Adrian, all the way from Georgia. All right, so we're going to talk about some... This is one of the things that's really I have a passion for is advice. I'm like the person that people come to for good advice. And I feel like there's a whole bunch of horrible advice that you can get in books and you can get on every single magazine you read. So we're going to talk a little bit about the dating advice that I've read over the years, and especially the books that I've read. And the first one was written in 1995 called The Rules. Have any of you gentlemen heard of The Rules?
No. This okay. is why I was curious about this podcast. I'm going to get an education. So no.
Okay. So The Rules was written by Ellen Fine and Sherry Schneider. And this was right after high school, and it was hot off the presses. And I was like, oh my God, I got to read this because I'm going to get myself a man and I'm going to get married, because they were on every talk show and everybody was like, oh, yeah. So I'm going to read a couple of the things that came out of this book. And this is the advice they gave to women. And it was, be a responder, not a hunter. Hunters are men. You are not a man. Don't call first. You might catch him when he's busy and you will feel dumb or bad. Don't reveal too much. Once books are open, they end up closed. My favorite is this one. Relationship ratio should always be 70% him and 30 to 50% you. And also wonderful advice, stay fit, beautiful, and show him and yourself that you care about being healthy. So how do these pieces of advice make you feel? I mean, I know what I felt as a young woman, but what do you think, Oscar? Because you're shaking your head.
I didn't know. I'm shaking my head because I didn't know that this kind of advice was out there. But my first thought is that it's almost like it's a cliche, but it's silly because it should be a case-by-case basis, right? If health is your thing, which is I like to run, then that's my thing. And maybe we can do it together, or maybe we don't have to. Maybe we have other options that we like to do together. But to say that all men like to have this health thing, I can't say that, I mean, yeah, we want people to look well that we are with, but it has to be a case-by-case basis. It's just too general, I would say.
I agree. What the rules that apply here in California do not apply in Metro Atlanta, right, and different other places. There is social mores that you're dealing with that culturally are regional, cultural, or universal. So certain things will kind of fit. It is a case by case basis. For me, how you feel when you wear your clothes, or how you feel when you dress, it's reflected in how I perceive you. You could not have all you may not have something that is attractive that I may see you as that, as a male, but if you feel good with what you got on, man, yeah, you become more attractive to me because you're comfortable in your own skin.
Exactly.
So the things that they were talking about, I would call into question culture. Also, what perspective are they looking at it from, the lens from where they're standing at that particular time? And culture has a lot to do with it.
You know, you said something that was key, Jay, and it's really about how the person feels about themselves. It exudes and it comes out with their confidence. So when you have that other point of it's 30%, you only want to contribute as a woman 30 to 50% or something like that, it doesn't make sense to me, because if we're in a relationship, I want to be your friend. And so, like, I'm going to try to give more than you. We're going to try to outgive one another. I mean, that's what I do with my friends. I'm going to try to give you more, and you're going to try to give me more. And I feel that's what makes a true relationship. If you try to put numbers to it, then you got to quantify. Well, I gave you last time, and then it becomes reciprocal, and that's not a good thing, because then it becomes tit and tat. If I gave you this, then you need to give me. Don't do that. That's just so destructive.
It depends on the subject. It depends on the subject.
And I have to say, like, for me as a woman, hearing that advice, it made me feel like an ornament. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a whole person that can contribute to this relationship, and I'm just some kind of a trophy, or some, you know, something that adorns a man. Mm-hmm. I'm like the add-on. I'm not a whole being that has feelings and thoughts and desires and blah, blah, blah. I'm just here. You make sure that whatever you do, you know what I mean? Like, you do what he likes and what he wants, and when he's available, and when, you know, when it's
you're just the support function, basically.
Yeah. I'm only here, you know, to provide what you desire.
Which starts like with the chip off
that, like that scene in Coming to America. Well, what is it that you want to do? Whatever it is you like.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Jump on 1 foot, bark like a dog.
Exactly.
A big dog. Woof, woof, woof.
Oh.
You know, that sort of thing. No.
Exactly. Exactly that. You know, and it's, I don't buy that, and I'm not with that at all.
You wouldn't ask that. You wouldn't ask that in your other relationships that you're dealing with your brother, or you're dealing with your sister, or you're dealing with your coworker. That sort of relationship of the opposite sex, those requirements of what you just read do not apply there.
Right. I think it should apply with your brother, though. She should really support me in any way she can. That's just my personal.
Oh my gosh!
Say that.
We'll have a siblings discussion later. I read that, and you know what I got out of this book? Honestly, after I finished reading it, I took a little bit of it to heart. But mostly, what I felt was I would have to do so much acting, and then I would have to remember how I acted every single time, and it would get on my damn nerves. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. I can't be inauthentic. I can't give you what you need and what you want and not care about what I need and what I want, because that's just not the kind of human I am. The rules is out the window for me, but it's a fun read. I'd say that it's a fun read, to know what not to do, in my opinion.
Right.
Don't do it. Okay. So, now we're moving on, and the last dating book that I read was Steve Harvey's Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, which was made into a movie, and, you know, love Steve Harvey sometimes. This book is honestly a mess for me. Some of it's really good, and some of it's really horrible, but I wanted to read an excerpt from his chapter that is called We Need to Talk, and he talks about how it makes men cringe when women say we need to talk. And so he says, the chapter starts out with a woman talking to her girlfriend about a shirt she bought and another woman at work wearing the same thing. However, this is how it's framed. I walked into work today, and before I could get to my desk, I saw Tanya walking over to the coffee machine. And wouldn't you know, that heifer had on the same shirt as me. And then he goes on to act like the woman's going to bring that home and talk to her man about it. Because, okay, I'm going to let my feeling about that rest for a second. But gentlemen, what do you think when a woman says, we need to talk? Or, I mean, do you think we're going to talk to you about shirts?
We messed up in some way.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, man. Okay, so I was told this, that men think in boxes. Like, if you were to open up a man's mind and you were to open up a closet, and all these little boxes for all these little different topics up there. One box has nothing to do with the other box. So that box that's up there in the top right corner that's labeled Adrian has nothing to do with my sister's box at the far corner. So, but where this person told me about it, he says women think like their mind works like it's a plate of spaghetti. Everything touches. So that Tanya with the same shirt on as at work has something to do with why we're having grilled cheese for dinner tonight instead of what we was going to have earlier. But Tanya screwed up my day. So I'm calling you from work, and he's like, well, we need to talk when I get home. And that's what a man hears. Immediately he's on his toes thinking, what did I do?
You're wrong. Mm-hmm.
What did I do? Not her saying, because the next question will be asked is, well, what we need to talk about? I'll just tell you when I get home. So now he's got 7 or 8 hours go over his, did he pee on the toilet seat at 2:30 in the morning and forgot to flush? That he's going to hear about it right now. Those little things that you think about every sin and infraction. Look on my phone I happen to scroll past bigbooty.com or something like that.
No,
he's thinking about all those different cardinal sins when she comes in the house to talk about Tanya wearing a shirt. And he goes, oh, shoot. Okay. Tanya, I mean, I'm good. I'm not in trouble. Do you feel the same way, Oscar?
I agree, because I think back to, like, in relationships, I shouldn't think about it this way, but when somebody says to me, we need to talk, I'm thinking about my parents, like, we're going to talk when we get home. Now I'm on defensive, and I agree with you, because now I'm thinking about all the stuff that I could have possibly done or things that I don't even know, because I walked into that where I didn't even know, we need to talk. Okay, so I'm going through all these scenarios. I get home, I'm already on the defensive. My hackles are up, waiting for this new battle that's going to come, and I'm walking into, which doesn't lead to a good conversation, right? And that's what we're not really talking about is really, it's about openness, honesty, and conversation, but it just to answer specifically the question that puts my hackles up and I'm already nervous. I go through this whole scenario, which is what Jay was saying of what I've done wrong. So when you get home and talk to me about Tanya, I'm gonna be like, just like you said, oh, thank goodness. And then now I'm shut down. I'm only half listening at this point, which is only going to add fuel to the fire. If you just wanted me to listen, if you just wanted me to hear you, I'm so relieved that it doesn't have anything to do with me that I can go, I'm thinking about other things. Okay, yeah, okay, got you. Yeah, she don't need to have that shirt on. Yep. And I'm blowing you off, and that causes more conflict.
Give me the headlines so I can unclench my butt cheeks.
Exactly.
Otherwise, I'm a nervous mess. I can't talk to nobody all day.
Because I'm just a simple man thing, man person, as my sister said. I'm just a man person.
Let me tell you that Heifer wore the same shirt as me. You know that shirt that you got me? Okay, I'll tell you about when I get home. I'm cool the rest of the day.
I'm not even bring you another shirt home just to say, okay, that's what I'm trying to do.
Y'all need to stop by the store?
Exactly.
I'm good.
Yeah, that whole phrase is just, you know, like you guys said, it's anxiety producing. Like, wouldn't a better thing be, you know, like,
headline.
Hey, I have something that I want to talk to you about. It's not, you know, it's not urgent. Like, even if you just preface it like that, like,
yeah,
would that be better? Or, you know, let's have, you know, something happened at work today. Can we talk about it later? Mm-hmm. Or something more, like, specific? Would that be? Because it's like sometimes I find myself in those situations where it's like, yeah, I want to talk about something, and it may not be important. Or you know, like, the shirt thing is not important, you know, but...
yeah.
But, you know, like, how do you say it in a way that's that doesn't get people all riled up? Well, like, what's better?
Getting to know one another and knowing how you communicate and then saying, you know what, give me a little bit more. Providing more feedback so your spouse or the person you're dating can know what you were thinking. You know what, that gave me a little anxiety. I went through all the scenarios. But we won't say that. We'll just go to, okay, good, I'm not in trouble. Let's move on. You know, instead of saying, you know what, that gave me a little bit of anxiety. Give me a little bit more, as Jay was saying. Give me the headline. Give me the overview, the 5,000 view look. Mm-hmm. And for you, for the person who's telling me this, they're frustrated. And I got to be able to realize that. But a lot of times we're so busy. But anyway, I agree. Just having a little bit more knowledge of what we're going to talk about. Like a meeting. Like if you're doing a business meeting, you wouldn't just say we're going to have a meeting. What do we have this meeting about?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Men want to know what face to put on for you. If you give them the highlight, then I could put on the sympathy face. If I need to put on the angry face, I need to put on the protector face. But if you give them the high level stuff, trust me, the man is not thinking from what you're thinking versus what is going on in our head are two completely different continents.
Yeah. What? Just let us know what you're on your mind. Yeah. You know what I mean? And because you know what you're thinking. We want to know what you're thinking, but we don't want to be that person who has to try to fix everything, because that then becomes counterproductive too. Mm-hmm. Let us know what's on your mind. You know what I mean? Because you know that this woman at work has worn this shirt and you didn't like it. Maybe you're in a situation where you can't explain that in detail right now, but give me a little bit more. And it's just getting to know one another and how much I need, how much I need to be able to have to support you.
And this is something else to consider. Men by nature are problem solvers. Mm. Every time that you guys are telling us about tying your shirt, you already know what you're going to do. You ain't asking us for our advice. You want us to listen. True. You want that us to true. Listen. But in a man's head, as you're talking, we're solving your problem. And the bad part is that we should be more of an active listener and listen to you, because in a way, what you're saying is how this is important to me. But in a man's mind, we're listening and, okay, well, I need to not get her that kind of shirt because that heifer, Tanya, that sort of thing. Well, when I see her at the Christmas party, I can look at her stank because she's apparently my wife don't like Tanya. As we were wearing the same dress. So I know I got to have my right face on when I see Tanya. Oh, that's Tanya right there? Mm-hmm. And I'll be on your side because I'm loyal like that. But men need to know what face to have on when you are getting ready to say, hey, I need to talk to you about this. Something went down at work. Yeah, I want to tell you
that's
about
it. That's absolutely fair. That's fair.
Yeah, the reason I laughed as about this as being like the first thing that he talks about is, one, I don't see myself saying we need to talk about Tanya having on the same shirt as me. I don't care. I'm not going to ask a man to solve a fashion crisis. That's not something that I'm going to talk to you about. I'm going to talk to my friend about, if I talk to my friend about it, because I usually don't talk about fashion anyway. But it's the weirdest thing. If being like on defense when somebody says we need to talk, because I get that way too. So I generally don't even use that phrase. I just feel like if he was going to frame that, he could have framed it in a better way. Not to bag on his book too much. I mean, because I read through it again last night, and I was like, well, it's not as bad as I remember, but it still, you know, he could have worked on the delivery a little bit.
It seemed kind of juvenile. It seemed kind of very low level, almost high schoolish from an adult.
Yeah. Okay, there's a good bit of that.
There was nuggets in there. There's nuggets in there. You just got to kind of sift through it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's some things. I mean, when you're dealing with other relationship, we know that our relationship, the four of us being on here right now, our high level things, our high level morals and values are probably on the same level. But then you get down to the intricate pieces of who we are individually, and then that's where our customizing our relationship fits better for us as we're dealing. I mean, Adrian and I've known her for a very long time, and I know certain things is I know how to love her in a certain way, meaning these are things that attract her. This podcast attracted her, you know, so that's sort of how she gets down.
Yeah.
So that's part of the relationship thing. So Steve Harvey helped out a little bit, but you know. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. He, you know, him and the cookie and stuff. But you know, I there is some nuggets. I have to agree. You know, he does. I don't know. I know I offend men all the time because I'm so independent. I got it from my mama. She was a colonel in the military. I'm bossy. I can't help myself. I've tried. I don't, you know, I try to understand that, like you said, men are problem solvers and they want to help. And I am like, you are not going to help me. And one of the things that Steve said was, don't tell a man you want to go Dutch. And I'm like, I always say that because I'm always thinking that if you pay for it, I'm going to have to give you something and I don't want to give you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the power struggle sometimes is real, especially if you are a strong personality. And, you know, I don't know how to fix that for anyone.
But isn't that part of your vetting process? Is that if you are such a strong mentality, a strong-minded woman and independent, in your vetting process, you're trying to hook up to or connect with someone that is of similar operating system as you. If you're Apple and this person is Samsung, you want something, you want to probably deal with somebody who's iOS, chances are somebody that's Android.
Yeah.
So if you're strong and independent like that, chances are you're looking for somebody who's very similar. Right. And that's part of your vetting process.
Right. Very few people that have gotten past my process.
Is, why are you apologizing for being a strong woman? I don't, you're supposed to, don't apologize. That's nothing to fix. There's nothing to fix. It's just
No. I mean, I'm not trying to say fix me because I'm not, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with me. I think that it's, I don't have advice to give anyone who is as I am. You know what I mean? It's like, just be you. Like for me, it's like be you. I don't see a problem with it, but it does seem that I have more problems relationship wise because of who I am. And I take what Jay says is like, that's truth. I need a better vetting process too, because I can be honest enough with everybody, and Adrian knows that I will tell you every darn thing about my dating life and have no problem with it because I am a horrible dater. I am the worst. I am bad. I don't even try to pretend I'm not. I do know what bad advice is, but I can tell you that I am no good at picking myself. I'm bad. I'm horrible at it. And that's okay with me.
I think part of it too is that... You know, we still hold on to these weird, antiquated ideas of like what relationships are supposed to look like, and you know, a woman's role in a relationship should be this, and a man's role in a relationship should be this. There's stuff that we will naturally do as men and women, you know, but I think, you know, like the whole, like going Dutch. Like that's been, you know, I haven't dated in a long time, but when I did, that was always a problem, you know? And from my perspective, I would rather pay for myself, because when you get into situations where someone is paying for you, either they expect something from you afterward, like you owe them something, or it like, it's kind of assumed that, okay, well, since I bought you dinner, we're in a relationship now. And it's like, I don't want either of those to be an option. So I'm paying for myself so that, you know, we're still friends. You know what I mean? Until I decide that I want something else with you, you know, but it's like that it's always a problem. And then you're kind of, you get labeled as independent as if that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know,
Let me ask this question. In your vetting process, if we're getting to that particular point where we're going out on a date, has the question of how to handle something comes up before we go on a date? Has that conversation come up? Because a lot of times men have in their mind how things are, and we're not natural verbal communicators. Women are natural verbal communicators. We men communicate by what we do. We are descendants of Adam. Adam was told to name, tend, and do all these things. And now we're communicating with Eve by saying, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this is my woman, da 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 da. Adam spoke that value into Eve. God didn't say that. God didn't pull up Eve and say, hey man, this your woman right here. Go on now. You didn't say that. Adam spoke and said, that's me right there. At last, man, I'm good. I got some. But in that vetting process, you got to ask questions that require men to do this, to talk. Because as you guys are very analytical, emotional, and logical all at the same time, once you kind of tell men, once you kind of ask the kind of right probing questions, you can kind of find out where that sweet spot is. You may feel comfortable with taking, going out on a date with him and he paid for you because maybe that's morally how he grew up. If I'm asking a woman out on a date and culturally my grandfather did it, my father did it, my uncles did it. So naturally, if you come up and say, well, hey, I'm gonna pay for mine, I'm gonna take offense because I asked you out on a date. So morally, that's how he feels. He may take it that way, but if you don't ask the question to find out, morally, if you don't ask those probing questions that require him to, one, invoke thought, two, to express how he feels on the inside, how are you supposed to know?
Well, I don't date very much, and when I do go out, I like to go out and have dinner, eat. And what I was told was that, hey, Oscar, be honest with you, men and women don't do that anymore. Because I was married for 20 years. You know, like, we men and women today, they don't really go out to eat. But to go back to the eating point, I usually offer to pay because I don't believe chivalry is dead. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm not saying you don't have your money. But it's a relief when a woman says, okay, I'll pick up the tip. Or I'm just going to pay for my own. I have no problem with that because what's the best line for me is, okay, if you got me this time, I got you next time. That's what I love to hear. Because one, it means we're going to see each other again if we had an enjoyable night. And two, you're being reciprocal. I'm not saying that you owe me anything or I owe you anything. But as a friend, if I paid this time, you can pay next time. And if we decide not to see each other anymore, that's okay too.
That's okay.
But I see, but at least we're thinking about one another instead of self. And that's what's key to me.
I hear that. I think that goes to the blurred line between friendship and dating. I think that's probably where these problems occur, you know, just not having that, you know, sometimes there's assumptions that are made that, you know, just because we're hanging out, it means we're dating. No, not necessarily. You know what I mean? We could just be hanging out because we're hanging out. We're friends. You know, there's so clearing that blurred line could clear a lot of this up.
but that communication piece of knowing where he stands, questions, men technically want to talk. You just got to ask the right question that provokes it. You know, I mean, you could ask the question about what role are you, you talk about your friends a lot because, you know, you guys are sharing your lives or whatever. What role do you play amongst your friends? And therefore, it gets you the opportunity to find out what role. Is he the thermometer? Or is he the thermostat? Is he the alpha? Is he omega? Is he the, those sort of questions when you start to talk and you find out what role this person is in their social set. It kind of gets you a 5,000-foot view, to use what Oscar said, a 5,000-view look of what's going on in this person's world. We haven't went out on a date yet. Maybe he don't like bagels and coffee for breakfast. You know what I'm saying? I grew up, I eat grits and egg, and that's you know, I'm ready to go to the Waffle House. Give me a number two.
Damn, I'm hungry.
Sorry.
Right? That number two, though.
With the country ham. With the country ham. Shout out to our sponsor, Waffle House. Shout out to Waffle House.
Right. Yeah, we got to make sure to tag them in this.
Okay, well, yeah, I just kind of want to wrap
up. That's great advice, guys.
Yeah, that was great advice. I kind of wanted to get into the last book that I read that honestly I think taught me the most about dating, which was He's Just Not That Into You, which was made into a movie. It was written by Greg Berndt and Liz Tuchilli, and I'm sure I'm making a horrible mistake with their names. But one of the things that I enjoyed about this book was that it taught you when to fold. Women don't necessarily fold. You can stop calling me, not me personally, but you can stop calling me and I'll still call you, right? Or I'll still try to text you, or I'll try to figure out a reason to insert myself back into your life, right? And so I just wanted to read a couple of things that came out of this book. They want women to know that if a man's interested, he'll ask you out. He'll call or text you back. He'll let you know that you guys are officially dating. He won't dismiss the idea of marriage if that's something you want. And he won't cheat on you. He won't ghost you or be mean, nasty, or abusive. But one of the things is, when I read this book, I finally went, oh my God, that's right. You gotta learn to cut your losses. And I think that women, when they read the other advice, are waiting on the man to make the decision for them. And that's problematic, I think.
Nobody wants to be the bad guy, though.
What?
Nobody wants to be the bad guy.
Yeah, but that I get, because that the uptick in people ghosting other people, especially in today's day and age, because you're usually texting, a call is a rarity, I've found. So people just going ghost on you is so disappointing. I think that's the thing. It's very disappointing, especially for women, because we want men to know that we're not going to cry when you say, I don't want to see you again. Okay, well, maybe I was feeling the same thing, or maybe I felt you pulling away. And please tell me that I don't want to see you. That's fine. I appreciate when people tell me they never want to see me again, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's hard. Ghosting is hard because there's no resolve. And there's no like conclusion, even though it's done, but it feels undone.
Can we back up a little bit? Because I'm 50, I'm going on 51. So some of these terms are a little new to me. And ghosting, I'm assuming, means basically you stop communicating with somebody that you had been in a relationship with.
Right. Without saying, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to continue this relationship. You just don't say anything anymore. Like ever. To silence. Yeah, yeah, that's harder than hearing, I don't want to continue in relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, that song, shout out to Gladys Knight and the Pips. Neither one of us want to be the first to say goodbye. Ghosting has been around for a long time. Yeah. But nobody technically wants to be the bad guy. I'm gonna make you laugh. When I was in junior high school, I never broke up with a girl. I would just tell my sister, hey man, I don't talk to her no more. My sister, if it's a girl call, my brother don't want to be with you no more. Y'all broke up. But they click up, but I just hug my sister, man. I appreciate you. Whatever you get older, you got it, buddy.
Here's a question though. Is it being the bad guy or is it being the honest guy? Like why is being honest being bad? Like, why is that bad?
You're both.
That's being bad.
You're both. Because I think if one person, the person who's getting ghosted, and that person who's doing the ghosting, that person already sees them, hey man, you've left this relationship and you don't have the decency to tell me. So of course you're made to be the bad guy. But maybe there's some reason why this person is ghosting you. Maybe I don't have the balls to say, I came over to your house and I saw roaches on the floor and I just can't get down with that.
Oh God, no.
You know what I'm saying? Like that could be, you know, maybe I noticed that you don't shower every day. That's just a thing for me. You know, it could be something as trivial as that. Am I right?
That's real.
Like she took off her shoe and she, like Eddie Murphy and Boomerang. Shout out to Eddie Murphy. Trying to get you guys some sponsors up on here. Boomerang, he took off her shoe and she had hammer time in her shoe. Oh, and, exactly. all of a sudden, she was not cute no more. So now I'm not calling her no more because she got hammer time in her shoe.
So how do you tell a lady that you got a hammer toe like that? You can't.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I can't deal with you, man, because you need to go get them. Yo, 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 yo. You need to spend some time at the Asian foot spot. Get your shit right. You know, I kill this man. Saying. So, of course, I cannot say you got hammer time in your shoe and I can't mess with you. But I'm going to be the bad guy because I don't return none of your phone calls and texts no more.
And so why would the ghost told your feet look kind of crusty? Which would you prefer?
Mm. Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a good question. That's
hurt. I'm hurt already. And I haven't had my toes done in 3 months, so they look terrible. And I'm just like, whatever. So it's a bad time to ask me about my toes, okay? Hey,
you guys still haven't answered the question. I'm waiting. That was a 50-pound question right there.
That's a tough one. Because I don't think you're ugly feet.
Yeah. I just relate it back to the one guy who I went out with, and he texted me after we went out. I texted him and I said, thank you. It was really nice. And he was like, it was really nice, but I don't feel attracted to you. And so while that was a kick to my gut, like literally, that whole day, I was at my friend's bridal shower, and that whole day was a mix of elation and crap. So, but I respect that he said, I'm not into you. Goodbye. Like, I respect that. The crusty feet would probably hurt my feelings a lot more only because they said I had crusty feet. But I was, you know what I'm saying? And then I'd probably end up trying to have my daughter cut off my toenails and paint them for me. But, you know, that's, you know.
I mean, it's all an ego thing, right? Like, yeah, either way, you know, it's
egos
all an
ego too. Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta look at it. Men are visual creatures first. Mm-hmm. So the part what you were saying in the first book, saying you look good and make sure that your health is good and all that sort of stuff, we're visual creatures first.
Yeah.
You guys can fall in love with Quasimodo if his speech game is right. If he macintoshes and laying you down with some words and, you know, intellectually and be up in your mind, you'll see right past that hump on the back of his back. And that one eye in the middle of his forehead, they were like, girl, how'd you get with him? He's a good man. He's a good man. Because he didn't got into your mental and into your heart. You'll see the exterior piece too, but it's almost primary with a lot of men because we got to see you first. We're visual creatures. So the hammer time is important too. You know, if you say that it's a work in progress, don't look at my feet, then I know, all right, yeah, she's trying to work on that. So I'll give her a pass. She's trying to work on that. Don't let it go too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't let it go too long.
It's like general hygiene though. Like if you stink and if you don't clean yourself and you don't take care of yourself, you don't necessarily need to go run 50 miles for me, but like if you just don't take care of yourself, who's going to want to look at you? I mean, that's just basic. That should be basic.
Men too. Yeah. Men too. We do. I mean, we look in the mirror. I'm telling you, you should see what emotionally, if a man's getting ready to go on a date for the first time. Well, all right. Can I tell you guys a story real quick?
Okay.
Quick story. All right. So, my wife now, we were dating and we went to high school together. So she's coming to my place. It's the first time I've like seen her in a long time. And she's coming to my place. So she's come by late and I'm like, I did 4 push-ups and I'm in the mirror boxing a little bit, like, whew, suck it in, suck it out, suck it in, suck it out. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to try to look good. But man, I'm going through the whole scenario of what this could possibly be. And so because I'm of a certain age, you know, I got a little tinsel in a couple different places. So I was like, man, this is going to be the first time I see her. There's a possibility that we might get, you know. So all of a sudden I'm over the toilet cutting down my ball fro, get rid of the tinsels out of there because I want to make it look young. Because I'm getting ready, just in case it gets ready to, just in case we see each other, I look young all the way down. And I'm making you laugh. This is literally my four push-ups.
Boxing in front of the mirror.
Boxing in front of the mirror. See, you sucking in. I mean, she goes, oh, man, you look really nice. Thank you. I was like, yeah. You don't know. I just did four push-ups, and I'm really tired right now. And I'm all black downstairs now. You know, ain't no tinsel around this joint. It was like it's 14 years old, man. I'm good.
Oh, my goodness.
But in a man's mind, mentally, he thinks about those sort of things, too.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, yeah, I'm going to jump in here real quick.
Should we be afraid?
No, not be afraid, because I could take him there, but no. I can't say I really manscaped before I go on a date. Not that let me preface this, I don't date much now. I've been married for a long time. But we do kind of think about how we look, but I don't think I have five sisters. Right, and I've seen them get prepared for dates. It takes time.
Perfection.
Because they want to be on there, especially if they like the person they're going out on a date with. For me, I just throw on some pants, a shirt that I know is clean, make sure I'm showered, I'm ready to go. Because for me, it's more about when I do date, what are we talking about? What's your interest? I like to go white water rafting. I hope you bring up a fact that you like to do physical things too. I'm looking for those cues. So my thing isn't necessary. Now I want to make sure my hair is cut because I get a haircut once a week. Make sure I'm groomed, smell well. But I don't take a lot of time in my shoes. My sister knows how I dress. I kind of just dress. And because that's me, I don't want to put on airs because it's not something I'm going to wear every day. Because then I'm just not really being true to myself. Because or to the person I'm going out with, because I'm putting on this air of this is how I look when I know that I usually walk around in holy jeans or shorts and a t-shirt. And when you see me and pop up, you'll be like, oh, you know, it's going to be so extreme. So I'm not that fastidious on my appearance. I do like to look well as far as my grooming and smell, but clothes and things like that and manscaping before I go out, even if I think I'm going to get lucky this one time or two times or whatever. By the time hopefully we get there, we're so comfortable with one another. If you see a gray hair down there, because I'm 51, then hey, I told you I'm 51. You know what I mean? So it is what it is at that point.
I'm just saying that woman now is my wife.
Yeah, that's true. It worked.
Good work.
My four push-ups, my two deep knee bends, and cutting my, you know, cutting some tinsel out of there.
Now you cut it down to two push-ups, right?
Before yeah, it comes down. That's right.
Knee bends, man. You were really ready for a workout.
I don't know what anything could happen tonight. Anything. I'm gonna have to defend her honor.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I think for me, goodness. Like as a woman, like I try not to get super fancy on dates. Because I know that that's not reality for me. I don't get dressed half the time. And when I do get dressed and I'm by myself, I have leggings on and some old ratty, raggedy t-shirt. Like, I don't put any effort in getting dressed. So if I'm going to go out with somebody, I'm not going to put that much effort into getting dressed because you're not going to get much better than this.
Right,
on a day to day, but I'm not gonna be raggedy. I'm not gonna be, you know what I mean. I'll be presentable and that kind of thing. Unless it's a situation where I know ahead of time we're going somewhere fancy, I will dress for the occasion.
Exactly.
But as far as just like first date or whatever, I'm not about to do all of that because you know what? If we get together and we're gonna be together for a while, you're pretty much gonna see me in leggings 90% of the time. Because that's just reality for me.
But here's the thing.
You know what I mean?
So
I don't want to go too far to the extreme, and then you're expecting, you know, the black dress and the stilettos, and then I'm only willing to give that to you once every 7 months. You know what I mean? And then you'll be disappointed because you like that, and that's what you know what I mean? Like that's what you were like, oh. That's what she looked like? And then I come day after day after day after day in shorts.
Right, but we're having the conversation now. If we're having the conversation, I know that leggings, and that's part of our conversation of getting to know each other, making sure that our operating systems are going to mesh well. That we're having the conversations. I know about the legging situation. I know but about I'm saying, the ratty t-shirt.
Since you guys are visual, I'm going to present myself in the way that I generally am.
Right. But so then are you
already know up front, oh, this is about as far as she'll go.
Right. But you know if you're wearing those leggings and you're wearing that t-shirt and you're comfortable in your own skin, that comes out in how you get down.
Yeah.
So she's comfortable with her hair wrapped up in that cute hair wrap, and she's comfortable with those shell toe Adidas on that she has on right now. So that sort of thing, oh yeah, she goes and gets coffee at the spot down the street, maybe I'll meet her down there to have coffee at the spot down the street.
Right.
I already know what I got going in because we've been having the conversation. It is about communication.
And oftentimes,
when men are listening to women and they're listening, they're being active listeners, you guys are often telling us how to love you anyway. When you listen to past jockeys that were there before me, conversations.
You just quoted Prince. Oh my God!
You know, when you have those sort of conversations about jockeys that were there before me, and you go, "Well, he screwed up by doing those sort of things," you're telling me, if I'm listening, don't do that. Don't expect
Very true.
This.
Very true.
This got on my nerves because of blah 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 blah. So now I know if I'm trying to get in, I'm going to not do these things to make sure that I can get next to you. Am I right? Men do the same thing too. They tell you how to love you as well too. But again, it's something that's require you to find a, get him to say and elaborate and tell him how he feels about something.
Yeah.
God can tell you a story, but make sure that there's emotion in there, because then it gives you where his moral compass is. Because most of you guys have probably went out on guys who men are emotionally immature. Can't communicate, emotionally immature, but chances are in that vetting process, you didn't ask that right question to find out if ham, no burger, Kool-Aid, no sugar is right. Running around
probably
in his head.
Very true. Yeah, it's probably very true.
I think that's where I went wrong in the last dating episode that I was in, a five-day relationship I was in, that was like all this, and then like all of a sudden it was, my favorite line of his was, "You're not hood enough," and I was like, excuse me? Wait, what? You should have known from the fact that I'm an English major, that I grew up in the military, that that was not my experience. However, the fact that I ask you to meet me at my car when I come to an unfamiliar part of town and ask you to meet me there and bring me to your home does not make me scared. It makes me want you to make sure that I get there because I don't know where the hell I'm at. Like, that's all I was saying. There's nothing, it had nothing to do with where you live, had nothing to do with who you are as a human being. I could give a crap less if you were as poor and living in a homeless shelter half the time. But, okay, I'm lying. But a little bit. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, it's the quality of the human that matters to me. And it's, as you said, he could have been Quasimodo. And as long as he treats me well, then we're okay. I don't have these airs just because of who I am. You know, that's who I am. That isn't about you. That isn't, I have nothing to say about you other than, are we going to be able to mesh? Maybe because of our backgrounds, we're not, but don't make an assumption that is completely wrong about me.
Yeah, I think we all agree that it's really about communication.
Yeah.
And being able to communicate what you want and like and don't like and all that, and being able to hear and receive that in return. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I think that's a really good place to end it, because Adrian said pretty much what I would have said at the end of this whole thing is, like, dating advice is advice. Take it or leave it. And it's all about communication at the end of the day. If you're not communicating, it's not going to work. So, excellent. And I'd like to thank both of our gentlemen for being here. And I'm sure that we'll see you guys again, because I have another idea brewing, and you guys would be perfect for the next show. That
thank you for inviting us. And Adrian, you have to sign me off with my call sign. What is it?
Man person.
Thank you very much. as one of the two man persons on this, thank you for having. I mean, this was very good. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it, but it was great information. It was great information, and it was fun.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity as well, too.
Thank you for listening to episode 2, Disastrous Dating Advice. We'll see you in 2 weeks.